Zullen we op test beginnen dan? Wat is dat je aan het begin? We're about to begin a new topic, the halachas of tzitzis. Before we talk about some of the nitty-gritty of tzitzis, I just want to get just a little bit of an introduction, a little bit of a background to the mitzvah of tzitzis in general. The mitzvah of tzitzis is somewhat of a different mitzvah than the mitzvah of tefillin. The mitzvah of tefillin that we've been speaking about is a mitzvah we call mitzvah chiyuvis, in the sense of that every male Jew has an obligation to put on tefillin. It's b'toras chiyuv. It's not an optional mitzvah, it's an obligatory mitzvah. We had some questions as to exactly when the zman ha-mitzvah is. Is it a chiyuv every day, actually? Is it a chiyuv every second? We had lumdus in terms of precisely how to define the chiyuv, but everybody agrees that it's a chiyuv. And if a person doesn't put on tefillin whenever the obligation to put on tefillin is, that's considered to be a bitul mitzvah, let's say. So tzitzis is different in the following sense, that one can technically go their entire life without ever performing the mitzvah of tzitzis. If a person doesn't choose to wear a four-cornered baguette, if you're not wearing a four-cornered garment, then you're not obligated in the mitzvah of tzitzis. So the mitzvah of tzitzis is not a type of a mitzvah that you, in theory, have to perform during the course of your lifetime. On the other hand, it's not exactly a voluntary mitzvah either from the following sense. A pure voluntary mitzvah means, let's say, lamash, like eating matzah after the first night of Pesach. And the first night of Pesach is an obligation to eat matzah, and subsequently throughout Chol HaMoed is at best a mitzvah kiyumis, according to some, not even a mitzvah kiyumis, but even according to the Gemara and those who hold it's a mitzvah kiyumis, so it's pure kiyumis. If a person doesn't want to do it, so you don't do it. Whereas tzitzis, true, you're not obligated to put on the beged of four corners in the first place, but if you choose to put on a four-cornered beged, then you become a chuyiv in the midst of tzitzis, and if you don't perform the mitzvah of tzitzis, it's considered to be a bitul ha-mitzvah. That is considered to be negating fulfilling the mitzvah. So tzitzis is a tricky question. If you ask somebody whether tzitzis is a mitzvah chiyuvis or a mitzvah kiyumis, the answer is it has elements of both. That it's a mitzvah chiyuvis in the sense that you can theoretically never do it. On the other hand, it's a mitzvah chiyuvis that if and when you put on the beged that's mechayev you in tzitzis, then you become a chuyuv in the mitzvah. Perhaps the mitzvah that's most similar to the mitzvah of tzitzis is the mitzvah of sukkah. The mitzvah of sukkah also, in theory, after the first night is a mitzvah chiyuvis, but after the first night, in theory, a person can go the whole week without sitting in the sukkah. If a person doesn't eat any food that's obligated in sukkah, if a person decides not to go to sleep for a whole week, so then he could theoretically circumvent the entire mitzvah of sukkah. However, if he does actions that are called dira actions, so the Torah says b'sukkos teish v'shivas yamim, so nobody told you you have to do a dira b'chlal. If you chose to spend the whole week never being involved in an act of dira, an act of dira is defined by either an achilas keva or a shena. So if you choose to go the whole week without doing any act of dira, so you're not mechuyev in the mitzvah of sukkah. But yeah, okay, that's a technical issue in terms of sleep. But let's say even in the realm of food, in theory you can survive on potato chips all week. So a person can theoretically circumvent the mitzvah of sukkah, at least for the most part, he can circumvent the mitzvah of sukkah. But if and when you choose to do an act of dira, such as an achilas keva or even a shenas aroi, those are labeled in the halacha as acts of dira. So then the mitzvah kicks in, but sukkah's teishu, teishu came to dira. You have to do those acts of dira, dafka in a sukkah. So again, if there are similarities in these two mitzvahs, tzitzis and sukkah, that there are certain dimensions of mitzvah chiyuvis and certain dimensions of mitzvah kiyumis. Even though one could theoretically circumvent the entire mitzvah of tzitzis, his entire life, and never wear tzitzis, so the Gemara frowns upon this practice. The Gemara Maseches Menachos quotes a story from one of the Amoraim. His name was Rav Ketina. The Rav Ketina never performed the mitzvah of tzitzis because he had all these kuntzim, all these cheshbonos, had to wear different kinds of begad and different kinds of garments that weren't obligated in tzitzis. So the Gemara says, certain times of the year he wore a linen, which we'll talk about when we get a little bit later, why linen lemaisa is potter from tzitzis for technical reasons. Other times of the year, other kind of begadim which were potter from tzitzis. So Rav Ketina didn't wear tzitzis, and he didn't think he was doing anything wrong. So one day he was met by a malach who told him otherwise. So a malach came to the Amora of Ketina and said to him, Ketina, tzitzis mateela. He said, what happened to the mitzvah of tzitzis? So Rav Ketina said, what do you mean what happened to the mitzvah of tzitzis? Well, yeah, just because your malach doesn't mean you don't have to learn. He said, don't you know the lumdus? The lumdus is, like we just said in the shiur, that he said, checked on BCBM Torah, said, your first year of tzitzis. You're not mechuyev to wear tzitzis, so what do you want from me? So the malach said, Tzitzitim, Rav Katina, Kadosh Baruch is going to punish you for not performing the mitzvah of Tzitzis. Rav Katina turns around to the Malach and he says, what do you mean? Why is he going to punish me? I didn't do anything wrong. Does the person get punished for not volunteering to do a mitzvah that he wasn't mechuyav to in the first place? So the Malach responded, very fascinating conversation, the Malach responds to Rav Katina, and he says, V'idan Rischa, that when a Kadosh Baruch was angry at you for other things, so then he's going to get you for this also. That means, Inochanam, you're right, your alumnus is right, that you didn't really do anything wrong, but if a Kadosh Baruch was anyway upset at you for half a dozen other things, so you're going to be punished for not putting on tzitzis. Atkan, strange, Gemara, Maseches Menachos. So the Rishonim point out in that Gemara, we learn something interesting from this Gemara. We learn from this Gemara that even though tzitzis is a type of a mitzvah that you're not really mechuyif to do, you don't have a four-quartered baguette, but you're really supposed to try to do it. You're not supposed to circumvent the mitzvah. It's not right. It's not a technical bittul mitzvah, but it's not the right thing either. So true, Kadosh Baruch Hu won't punish you directly for it, but if he has it in store for other things, so then he's going to throw us in a Gilgul Shavuos. He's going to throw us in for good luck as well. So Tosfos points out that this Gemara probably doesn't even apply Bizman Hazeh. Tosfos points out that if you look carefully at the Gemara was talking about Rav Katina doing things out of the ordinary to exempt himself from tzitzis. The normal minig in those days was people would wear four-cornered begadim, four-cornered wool, cotton, whatever types of begadim they were obligated in tzitzis. And Rav Katina would bend over backwards to get a bag that wasn't chayv in tzitzis. So that's what the Gemara was criticized. That's what the Malach told Rav Katina. That was inappropriate. That here, normal protocol is to perform the mitzvah, and you bend over backwards not to perform the mitzvah. That's a bizarre mitzvah. That's not appropriate. That's like a quasi bitul mitzvah. So that's what the Malach said. It's not a real bitul mitzvah. It's not like not putting on tefillin. It's a bitul of a kiyum, whatever you want to call it. And therefore, you're going to be punished b'shas b'idan rischa, but the Kadosh Baruch Hu was angry at you. But Tosfos writes, Bizman Hazeh, so if nobody wears four-cornered begadim, so what do you want from the guy? He's got to go out of the store, or go out of his way to the store and buy a four-cornered begadim, a shugana, to wear another begad that normal people don't wear, Bizman Hazeh. So Tosfos says, that's not what the Gemara said. The Gemara never said that you have to go out of your way to obligate yourself in tzitzis. All the Gemara said is that you shouldn't go out of your way to exempt yourself from tzitzis. So Tosfos says, Bizman Hazeh, that the minhag ha'olam, the non-Jewish world, nobody wears four-cornered begadim. So who said that we have to go run and go put on a four-cornered begad? So Tosfos says that the Rishonim write that even though that may be true, that the Gemara Bar of Katina Taka doesn't apply Bizman Hazeh, but there's another Gemara in the end of the first paragraph of Masechet Sota, and so we come to the Wednesday night Shurim, so we've spoken about this Gemara a little bit. The Gemara, very famous Gemara in the Yedalad and Sota, when the Gemara says, asks the question of Moshe Rabbeinu, v'chilecha v'periyut tzarech, what did Moshe Rabbeinu plotting to come into Eretz Yisrael? Chanan al Hashem, v'esei le'mor, he's davening, he's begging, he's crying, he wants to come into Eretz Yisrael. What's so gewaldig going to Eretz Yisrael? V'chilecha v'periyut tzarech, but he wants to eat the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, he wants to get a Jaff orange, he wants to get a caramel tomato, he can go to Pechmach and buy the same stuff, so why v'chilecha v'periyut tzarech? So the Gemara says, no, it wasn't just to eat the fruit of Eretz Yisrael, it's that he wanted to go perform the mitzvah Satliyas Baretz, that it bothered him, that he didn't have a chance to perform Trumas, Maisa, Shemitah, etc., all the mitzvahs which are agricultural based, which you can't perform in Chutz Laaretz, so Moshe Rabbeinu was plotting, he wanted to perform those mitzvahs. So we discussed in the Wednesday night Shurim and B'nai Shurim this year, we discussed the obvious question, why did the Gemara say he wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael? Because there's a mitzvah to go to Eretz Yisrael. Forget about the mitzvahs at Lois Ba'aretz. So what do you see from that Gemara? So half the Achmarim bring a ride from the Gemara, you see from here, maybe there's no independent mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. Maybe the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is only in order to perform the mitzvah at Lois Ba'aretz. And the other half of the Achmarim say is that the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael he was already fulfilling because he lived in Eretz Yarden. Eretz Yarden was already shtickle Eretz Yisrael. So again, that's Eretz Yisrael dikas sugya. Why the Gemara didn't give the more obvious reason. But whatever it is, the Gemara clearly states that Moshe Rabbeinu really, really wanted, and he davened very diligently in order to be zocha to perform the mitzvah of Tluyas Baretz. So the Rishonim point out, what was bothering Moshe Rabbeinu? He wasn't chayiv in Trumas and Ma'aseh. He didn't own land in Eretz Yisrael. He didn't have crops in Eretz Yisrael. So he wasn't chayiv in the mitzvah. What was he bothering him? That he didn't have a chance to do Shemitah. He didn't own the land, so he wasn't obligated in Shemitah. What was the big deal? So you see that it bothered him. You see from Moshe Rabbeinu that it bothered him. It ate away at him that he didn't have an opportunity to perform a mitzvah, even though he wasn't mechuyav in the mitzvah. Because you see that oiv mitzvahs lo yispa mitzvahs. The pasuk in Kehelah says, Oyev kesef lo yispa kesef. If a person likes money, so they'll never get enough money. So the Medrash says, Oyev mitzvahs lo yispa mitzvahs. That if a person likes mitzvahs, so they'll always want more mitzvahs. They'll never stop. They're always going to run, trying to chop around more mitzvahs. The Nevi Yehuda has a tshuva about that. The pasuk in Kehelah says, Oyev kesef lo yispa kesef. So Chazal say, Oiv mitzvahs lo yispa mitzvahs. So then Rabbi Yehuda writes that there was a shalah, the shalah kadosh, was of the opinion that when a woman counts shivinakiyim, so every day in the morning when she does a bedikah, she has to get up and say, Hayom yom rishon l'shivinakiyim, Hayom yom shein l'shivinakiyim. She has to verbally say, like Sfiris Omer, she has to mamash get up, Hinini Mukham Zubman, to say, Hayom yom rishon, Hayom yom shein l'sfiris shivinakiyim. V'safra l'shiviz yomim. So then Rabbi Yehuda says, we never heard of such a thing. He said, the Torah's been around for 3,500 years, and no one ever heard of anyone doing that. We asked our great grandmothers, no one ever heard of such a mitzvah. He said, the Gemara doesn't talk about such a mitzvah, the Rambam doesn't talk about such a mitzvah. So then Rabbi Yehuda writes that the Shalah was such an oev mitzvah. So he quotes this pasuk, he says, oev mitzvahs lo yispa mitzvahs. The Shalah was such a heilig tzaddik that he was so in love with mitzvahs that 613 wasn't enough for him. He had to add another one. So he added a 640th mitzvah to the Torah to count Shivanakiyah and Bepeh. So then Rabbi Yehuda says, we don't pasuk like him. That's aminigis. Nobody does like the Shalah. So putting aside that Rabbi Yehuda is a shtickle Torah. Yeah, he was making a joke to Rabbi Yehuda. He didn't mean it seriously. You know, humor in the 1700s in Prague was not like it is today. You know, things were. So come to Rishonim and say, you see the Meshur Man was such an oev mitzvahs that he was plotzing and wanted to have more mitzvahs, even those mitzvahs that he wasn't chayiv in. So you see that that's what the proper Hashkafas HaTorah is, that we're supposed to run after mitzvahs. We're not supposed to run away from mitzvahs. We're supposed to more mitzvahs, enough mitzvahs, enough mitzvahs, not enough mitzvah. We should do whatever we can to obligate ourselves in mitzvahs rather than to do things to exempt ourselves from mitzvahs. So the Rishonim write that even though if a person doesn't wear a four-cornered beged today, you can't say he's doing something wrong. The guy's not wearing tzitzis. You can't say he's a mavatlas a mitzvah. You can't even say that he's in violation of the Rav Katina Gemara, because Bizman is there, nobody wears four-cornered begadim. Nobody besides from Jews wear four-cornered begadim. So he's not even a violation of Rav Katina, but what he is really in violation of, he's in violation of the spirit of Moshe Rabbeinu. He's not following in the footsteps of Moshe Rabbeinu, of running, chap, trying to chap, whatever mitzvahs we could perform. So that's the mindset that we're supposed to have when we approach the mitzvah of tzitzis, that it's not a mitzvah chiyuvitz, and it's not even not a bitul asay really, but it's something that we're supposed to strive for, something we're supposed to try to do, and try to chap around as much as we can, every second, whenever we're able to perform this mitzvah. We should hopefully try to perform this mitzvah properly. There's a story about the Gra. Apparently when the Gra was on his deathbed, so the way the legend goes is that he picks up his tzitzis and he holds them and he starts to cry. So he asks them, what's he crying about? So he says, in Olam Hazeh, you spend a couple of pennies, a couple of rubles, and you buy a pair of tzitzis. Every second that you're wearing the tzitzis, a mitzvah deraisa, mamash, tying mitzvah, please, unbelievable. He said, you're going to come to the Olam Emes, you can give whatever you want in the Olam Emes. The one thing you can't get any mitzvah. So he says, yeah, a person has to treasure each and every possibility of doing a mitzvah. And tzitzis is a good example of a mitzvah that you're not technically b'chuyavin, yet it's a wonderful idea. And you strongly encourage, and the Shulchan Aruch strongly encourages the practice that we have today of going out of our way dafka to wear tzitzis to fulfill this mitzvah properly. So now we have a background to mitzvah tzitzis. Now we have to analyze how one performs this mitzvah properly. So there are really two distinct parts of the mitzvah tzitzis that we have to discuss in terms of the chefetz shel mitzvah. And one is the beged, what type of a garment is obligated in tzitzis. And the second is, what is considered to be chutim of tzitzis? What are the halachas that govern the making and the connecting and attaching of the strings of the tzitzis themselves? That's basically what we're going to try to break it down to in terms of the chefetz of tzitzis, the begadim and the strings. So when we speak about the begadim for tzitzis, so the Gemara raises a question which goes beyond the scope of just hilchas tzitzis. How do we define a beged in kol ha-Torah kula? The Torah has many dinim that revolve around beged. One of the halachas of begadim, a little less popular for us, is there's a halacha of nigei begadim, that if a person has a neged tzaras and a beged, so it's subject to a whole series of different halachas, whether halachas of begadim concerning shatnez, so there are halachas of big dikuna, there are a lot of dinim that revolve around the halacha concept of a beged, of an article of clothing. So how precisely do we define begadim in halacha? So the Gemara quotes a major machlekes about this in Masechet Shabbos and in Masechet Menachos. There was one Tana that was of the opinion, Rabbi Yishmael was of the opinion that kol makom shenema b'Torah begadim stam ein ela b'tzemru pishtim. That whenever the Torah uses the phrase beged and doesn't tell us what type of material we're talking about, we have to assume that the Torah only recognizes two types of materials for the making of a beged. One is tzemer and wool, and the other is pishtim, is flax. Again, it shouldn't surprise us. We know from Shatnez that's the case. The Torah speaks there. The problem is you have both of them together. Or we know from Nigei Begadim, the Torah speaks about Negoyim in Begadim. The Torah says explicitly, beget tzemer over beget pishtim. We know that tzemer and pishtim are usually the materials that are mentioned in the Chumash. It doesn't speak about other kinds of materials. So Rabbi Shmuel says that even those places in the Chumash where the Torah doesn't delineate tzemer or pishtim, the very word beget itself has the connotation of tzemer or pishtim, and therefore any beget made from any other material is not technically a halachic beget. This was the view of Rabbi Shmuel. Therefore, the Gemara concludes according to Rabbi Shmuel, when the Torah says a kanfe vigdeyam ledarosam, that you need a beget in order to be chayv and sitz, it has to be a beged. So a beged means o tzemer o pishtim, obviously not combined together, but we'll talk about that a little bit later on. But if you have a beged pishtim, then it's chayv and sitz, presumably. We'll talk about how that plays out lemais a little later. Or a beged tzemer, if you have a woolen beged, that also is chayv and sitz. If you have a beged, quote unquote, made from any other material, so then there's no mitzvah tzitzis. This is the view of Rabbi Shmuel. The Gemara then qualifies this and says, even though this is true on a level of derais, according to Rabbi Shmuel, on a level of derabbanan, this is not true, that the Chachamim instituted a chiv of tzitzis on any beged, any four-cornered beged, if it meets the other criteria of hilchos tzitzis, any beged is obligated in tzitzis, albeit midderabbanan. So if you have a silk beged, the Gemara, a cotton beged, any four-cornered beged, lemaisa you have to put tzitzis on midderabbanan, according to Rabbi Shmuel. But the mitzvah derais of tzitzis is only either of its tzemeh or of its pishtim. Sure. No, his idea, he didn't want to wear tzitzis.
No, I understand that, but going to Shmuel on a derisa level, I only have to wear tzitzis if...
No, but then he would have had to wear tzitzis, midrabanan. He was trying not to wear tzitzis.
But the drabanan came from them, came later on?
Yeah, no, the Gemara quotes a brisa, if I'm not mistaken. I think so. Then the Gemara quotes a different opinion, which the Gemara calls Rava Shita. Rava was an Amora, so he wasn't usually in the business of arguing with the Tanoim, but there are other Tanoim who seem to be following in their footsteps. So the Gemara calls it Rava Shita. So the Gemara says that Rava says no. Rava says that it's not true, that even though there are some places in Chumash where the Torah speaks about Beged having the specific connotation of Tzemru Pishtim, here Tzitzis is different. Why is Tzitzis the exception to the rule? Because the Torah says, Al Kanfe Vigdeim Adarosam, Al Kanaf Psil Tachavis. The Torah speaks about the Kanaf, about the corner of the Beged. So comes Rav and says that the kanaf means a min kanaf, whatever it is. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter whether it's cotton, whether it's silk, whether it's yen. It doesn't matter what it is. It's a min kanaf. Even though it's not technically a tzemer or pishtim, that's also good enough. That's also considered to be obligated in the midst of tzitzis, midda araisa. So how do we paskin halacha? Do we paskin like the Tan of Rabbi Shmuel? Or do we paskin like the other Tanoim that Rav was supporting? So this is a big machlekes. So Rishon, we get lemais, it's not going to be that much of a difference because everybody agrees in the end of the day you have to put tzitzis on the cotton and the silk. Just the question is that a mitzvah midarais or only a mitzvah midrabanan? So the Rishonim basically split down the lines in terms of Ashkenazim and Sfardim. So the Sfardi Rishonim, the Rif and the Rambam, were of the opinion that we paskin like Rabbi Shmuel based on the whole reading of the Gemaras and Shabbos and Menachos. Came out that mostly everybody in the sugya held like Rabbi Shmuel, and therefore midarais, according to both the Rif and the Rambam, one would only perform the mitzvah tzitzis if one has either beget tzemer or beget pishtim. And the Ashkenazi Rishonim, by and large, disagreed. Rashi and Tosin, the Rosh, the Mordechai, the regular standard Ashkenazi Rishonim, all sided with Rava, and they paskin that no, that any beggar is considered to be chayiv and sitzis, and need not necessarily be beget tzemer or beget pishtim, and that would be a din min haTorah. So how do we paskin la halacha? So it's a machlokes, it's not surprised, machlokes, the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber writes in his introduction to the Beis Yosef that whenever he's going to paskin a shayla, he's going to look to three basic poskim, three basic rishonim, how to guide him. So one was the Rif, one was the Rama, one was the Rosh. They were the three rishonim who primarily wrote Sifrei Psak Halacha before the days of the Shulchan Aruch. So the Shulchan Aruch says that whenever there's going to be a machlekes between the three of them, he's going to follow Rov, he's going to follow two out of the three. The only problem for Ashkenazim is that two out of the three happen to have been Svardim. So the Rif and the Rambam end up having the majority, they always have the majority vote. So that's why the Shulchan Aruch is always tilted in the direction of the Psachim. He was the Svardi himself, the Shulchan Aruch. So he ends up asking, in effect, all what we call today the Svardi Psach. Mashenke and the Ramah, when the Ramah disagreed with the Shulchan Aruch, so the Ramah was an Ashkenazi from Krakow. So he brought in Rashi and Tosfos and the Rosh and the Mordechai and all the standard Ashkenazi Rishonim. So that sometimes it tilted the balance in the other direction. So this is a classic example of this, where the Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rif and the Rambam, the min haTorah only beget tzemer or beget pishtim is chayiv in tzitzis, and the Ramah says no, that we paskin like Rashi. Rashi and Taisus and the Rash and all the Achachmi Ashkenaz who sided with Rava that all other begadim are chayiv and tzitzis min haTorah. Again, it's not that much of a difference. For mice, you have to put tzitzis on the katan holidays. It's just a question: is that a din midiraisa or a din midiravonim? But it does have a little bit of a difference to halacha in the following sense. We're trying very hard to perform the mitzvah of tzitzis. We're bending over backwards to be outside this mitzvah that we're not really mechuyev to do in the first place. So, l'chora, we should try to do it the proper way. L'chora, we should try to do it on a deraisa level. The mitzvahs derabanan are nice also, but if you have a choice between a mitzvah deraisa or a mitzvah derabanan, so you try to opt for the mitzvah deraisa. The Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah that if a guy doesn't have a shofar and he doesn't know how to daven musaf, and there are two cities in front of him in Rosh Hashanah, and he can only go to one of them, so the Gemara says he should go to the one which has the shofar. Shofar is deraisa, and davening is mitzvah derabanan. So you have a choice between doing a mitzvah deraisa and mitzvah derabanan. Of course, it should run to do the mitzvah deraisa. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, who's following the Rif and the Rambam, who all claim that only Tzemer or Pishtim is deraisa, everything else is only derabanan, so if you have a choice between running to volunteer to do the mitzvah deraisa and running to volunteer the mitzvah derabanan, it would be silly, l'chora, to do the mitzvah derabanan. It would be much better to perform the mitzvah mitaraisa. If you hold like the Ramah, that they're all deraisa, so they're all on equal footing, it makes no difference whether you're wearing cotton, whether you're silk, whether you're wearing Tzemer or Pishtim, it's all the same on a level of deraisa. So this is what led many people to the practice. Mishabura quotes this practice and supports this practice, that those who want to be yotzei in the midst of tzitzis midaraisa l'chol hadeos would insist on wearing wool, because in deference to the Rif and the Ram and the Shulchan Aruch, that the only mitzvah deraisa is if it's wool or pishtim, and we'll see a little bit later why pishtim is out of the question for us today. So one would have to wear either in theory pishtim or lemaisa tzemer. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah quotes many achronim who recommend that lechatchila a person should try to wear tzemer, a person should try to wear wool in order to be yotzei the mitzvah midaraisa lechaladeus. It doesn't mean chas shalom, it's a bitul hamitzvah if a person does it. It doesn't mean the person is making a bracha levatola if not, because even Rabbi Shmuel, even the Shulchan Aruch agreed that it's a mitzvah midirabanan. So when a person puts on a cotton pair of tzitzis, according to the Shulchan Aruch, he's required to make a bracha. We make brachas on Neres Chanukah also. We make brachas on mitzvahs derabanan also. So it's not a bitul hamitzvah, it's not a bracha levatola, but it's not the optimal according to the Shulchan Aruch. Whereas those who follow the Pesach on the Ramon say, we're not chayshish for the Shulchan Aruch. We all like the Ramon, we're Ashkenazim, so we all cotton is the same as wool. Therefore, it's perfectly acceptable to wear a cotton as well.
So we're
my talis
gadol, so I'm yotzei the raisa, the choladeus, does that still apply that my
talis gadol should also be? It depends how many minutes during the day you want to have your mitzvah deraisa. So if you're very, very, very careful and you want to be yotzei your mitzvah deraisa as much as you can, so then you would wear your talis. Right, so the Mishnah Berurah
for half an hour, so the
Mishnah Berurah recommends to wear a talis katan. Also, the whole reason for wearing a talis katan is, as we started out the shiur by saying, that the more the merrier, the more mitzvahs you get, the better. So we want to try to grab every mitzvah. So the Mishnah Berurah says that if you want to grab every mitzvah, you might as well grab every mitzvah deraisa. So the Mishnah Berurah likes the idea of wearing wool. He doesn't say you're mechuyev. No one says you're mechuyev too. But even according to the Shulchan Aruch, technically mechuyev. They're mechuyev to wear the tzitzis altogether. But the Mishnah Berurah thinks that it's a better idea to do this. And many practice like the Mishnah Berurah. Many follow that, and many don't. Many follow the Ramah. Many Ashkenazim says it's very nice, but we pass like the Ramah. We pass him for like the Ramah and Yisurei Karis also, so we can pass him like the Ramah. This Shaila, that it's only a Shaila of a potential volunteering to do a mitzvah essay. They're not mechuyev in the first place. So Kedai HaRamah, smoich alav. So one is permitted to rely on the Ramah even lechatchila shebu chatchila. So again, there are some who have this practice. There is a tradition that some say, and I think it's said over in the name of the Gra, that the Gra would wear, just like Achanan, the Gra would wear the talis gadol, but he would wear it all day. So we're getting there, Achanan. So the Gra would wear his talis gadol, which was wool, all day. So then apparently he wore a cotton talis katan. Why did he wear cotton talis katan? So the way it's said over again, I don't know whether the Gra actually said this or it said over the name of the Gra, that he felt that the mitzvah of tzitzis, so he was being yotzei midaraisa every second with his talis gadol. Now he wanted to be yotzei the mitzvah of listening to the Chachmei HaTorah. There's a mitzvah to listen kol hashayom rochalecha aseh. There's a mitzvah of losasim and adover. So he wanted to be yechap around the mitzvah derabanan every day. So according to Shulchan Aruch, he's chapping around the mitzvah derabanan of wearing cotton. Anyway, I'm not sure whether he said it or not, but that's the way the story goes. Anyway, so getting back to the story. So we have different opinions in terms of whether one should be siding with wearing the pishtim or other things. But we mentioned in passing that Pishtim is for sure an option. Pishtim, according to the Gemara, is for sure the Araisa. So why is everybody sweating and wearing their racing striped woolen tzitzis? Why don't we everybody put on the Pishtim? Pishtim would be the greatest. Flax, linen, begodim. We make a killing. So what's pshat? Why aren't we doing that? So we're not doing that for the following reason. The Gemara says that although min haTorah, the halacha is that Pishtim is for sure obligated in tzitzis, and you have to put tzitzis on. We have a problem with putting tzitzis on Pishtim. What's the problem with putting tzitzis on Pishtim? So there is a din min haTorah that one is permitted for the purpose to perform the mitzvah of tzitzis properly. One is even permitted to violate the dinim of shatnez. The Gemara in the beginning of Masechus Yevamos, so I just tested all the bachim in Chicago last week. So the Gemara in the beginning of Masechus Yevamos, that learns out from a series of psukim. The Torah says, "Losilba shatnez semra pishtim yachdav gedilim ta'asa l'cha." Immediately following the mitzvah of shatnez, the Torah in Parshas Kiseitze gives us the mitzvah of tzitzis. The mitzvah of tzitzis appears not only in Shlach, it appears in Kiseitze also. So gedilim ta'asa l'cha teaches us that you have to put on tzitzis even at the expense of shatnez. Even if there's a clash between the two mitzvahs, you have to put on tzitzis. Why is there a clash? Why is there a clash? So you have a four-cornered linen beged. So a four-cornered linen beged requires tzitzis. Why is there a clash? So who says you have to put on wool? So the problem is the Torah says you have to put on tcheles. And tcheles means blue wool. It doesn't just mean blue string. It means blue wool. That's the halachic definition. That's the Torah Shabbat definition of tcheles. It has to be a wool string dyed in the proper color blue. So now you're in a little bit of a pickle. You have a four-cornered linen beged. You want to put it on, and you must put tzitzis on. And one of the things you have to put on the tzitzis is a woolen string of blue. So how can the Torah tell you to do that? The answer is, I say, Dachal also say, that's what the Torah says, that the mitzvah of tzitzis is doicha, the isser of shatnez. That's the din mida araisa. The problem is, that's only true if you're wearing tcheles. What if you're not wearing tcheles? If you're not wearing tcheles, so who told you to put on wool? If you're not going to wear tcheles anyway, and again, we'll talk a little bit later whether tcheles is ma'akev and not ma'akev, but if you're not wearing tcheles anyway, so how dare you put on wool? Put on linen strings, put another whatever other strings are going to be kosher, if there are any. So who gave you a right to put on wool? If you're going to wear tcheles, you want to perform the mitzvah deraisa of tcheles, of tzitzis ketikuna, so then asei dochal also say, but if you don't have to, you don't have to. So that's what the Gemara says. Imagine the following scenario. Let's say a person has a linen beged, and they put on tcheles, like they think they're doing the right thing, and then it turns out that they bought the cheap tcheles, the posel tcheles, what the Gemara calls kala ilan. It wasn't really authentic tcheles. So it turns out that they didn't really have tcheles. They yield to the mitzvah anyway, the Gemara says, because fake tcheles is no worse than white. It's no worse than non-tcheles. We pass in a tcheles and not ma'akev. So it's true that the person is not losing anything in terms of tzitzis, but it's a disaster in terms of shatnez, because now he's wearing shatnez for no reason. He's wearing a linen beged with a woolen string tied onto it. And the woolen string could have been dyed red. It's not blue. It's not halachli tcheles. So that's what's called wearing shatnez shelo b'mokom mitzvah. So the Gemara was concerned about this. The Gemara says in Maseches Menachos, Maseches Shabbos, that the Chachamim made a gezeira that we don't want people to put tzitzis on linen begadim, because if you're going to put tzitzis on linen begadim, you may goof and you may get the wrong tcheles, and then it'll turn out that you're doing violating shatnez without gaining any mitzvah. So therefore, it's a bad idea. We don't want to start with linen begadim anymore. So that's what the gezeira derabbanan. It's called sadin betzitzis. Sadin means a linen beged. So the Chachamim made a gezeira sadin betzitzis. You don't put tzitzis on a sadin anymore. You don't put tzitzis on a linen beged as a gezeira that you may come to use the wrong tcheles. The Gemara raises the question, how did Chachamim let you do this? It means the Chachamim never prohibited you from wearing a four-cornered beged. They just told you not to put tzitzis on it. So comes the Gemara in Yevamos, Daf Peites, and says, how could the Chachamim do that? How could the Chachamim tell you, if min haTorah you have to put tzitzis on, how could the Chachamim let you wear a four-cornered beged without doing the mitzvah of tzitzis? Can the Chachamim change the mitzvah? Can the Chachamim change the halacha? So the Gemara explains that the Chachamim have a right to shave al ta'asa. They have a right to passively tell you not to perform a mitzvah. And that's considered to be passively not performing the mitzvah. That why exactly is that called passively not performing the mitzvah? You're putting the beged on. They're telling you to put the beged on. So different answers given to that question. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. We talk about the exact shasakima mitzvah. But akopan, the Gemara says that min haTorah a beged shel pishtim requires tzitzis, and min derabbanan a beged shel pishtim does not require tzitzis. Not only does it not require tzitzis, there's an issur derabbanan to put them on. You're not supposed to put them on. So therefore, we're stuck with this issur derabbanan. Nevach, so that's why we don't have the option of putting on the nice cooler linen begadim in the summertime, because of this gezeira min derabbanan. So we're stuck with it. You could, but midrabbanan, they said not to do that. They don't want people to get into the habit of start making tzitzis on pishtim, because the person may want to put on tcheles, and he'll put on tcheles, but on the wrong tcheles, it'll be a takola. So this halach appears in the Gemara Beferish, Machlokes HaTanaim. We pass in Beferish that Sadim Mitzitis, though there is no Tzitzis on a Beged Shel Pishtim. So there is a Rush, where the Rush writes that the Rush had an interesting background, personal background. He was an Ashkenazi through and through. He was a Rav in Ashkenazi. He learned by the Baram in Ruthenberg. He was an heir to the Bali HaTosfos, to the Ashkenazi tradition. But then at the middle of his life, the Rush had to run away from Germany. He had to run away because his Rebbe, the Maamar Ruthenberg, was thrown into jail because there was a whole issue with they were taxing unfairly the Jewish community. The Maamar Ruthenberg, made a point of approaching the government, telling them that it's not fair. And kids, he got thrown into jail, and he was left in jail for 14 years. And he Mamish died in jail. They wouldn't release his body. A very tragic story, tragic end to the Maamar Ruthenberg. So the Rush realized that he was next on the hit list of the government. So he decided he's not going to follow in the footsteps of his Rebbe to end up in jail. So he decided to skip town. So he ran away. He escaped. He left Germany and he went to Spain. So you can just imagine, this is the Rush arriving in Spain as a pure Ashkenazi, coming to the height of a Sfardi Jewry. So first and foremost, he needed a job. So he went to the placement office. So he went to the Rashba. So the Rashba was the Rav. He was the undisputed leader of the Spanish Jewry at the time. The Rashba was the Rav in Barcelona, which was the main show in terms of the Jewish community. So the Rashba knew about the Rush and talked to the Rush, and they corresponded, and the Rashba got him a job. He made him the Rav in Toledo. Toledo was a smaller Jewish community in Spain, which didn't have as many Talmidei Chachamim, and there's a whole article somebody just wrote recently about, I forgot, one of them, Mishpacha, one of the magazines, right? All about the Jewish community in Spain in the Middle Ages. So they related this whole story. I mean, the story's a famous story, but it was written over a little more dramatized in that article. So anyway, Lamai said, apparently when the Rush arrives in Toledo, and there weren't so many Rabbanim who were qualified in Toledo, and he was an Ashkenazi, so it was a little bit of a political issue. So they finally appointed the Rashba, gave his stamp of approval. He was the chief rabbi of all of Spain. He told them they should appoint the Rush, just take him as the Rav. So it was a strange situation. The Rush was an Ashkenazi through and through, and he was the rabbi. He was the Pesach for the Sephardi community in Toledo. That's what happened. Like it happened again in the days of Chacham Tzvi. Chacham Tzvi's last name was Ashkenazi because he was the only Ashkenazi in town, because he was the Rav of the Sephardim. That's why they called him Chacham. He was the only Ashkenazi who was called Chacham because he was the Ashkenazi in charge of the Sephardim. Anyway, so the Rush was there in Spain, and he writes in a few different places in his halachos that he saw a lot of strange things going on in Spain. He saw a lot of minhagim going on in Spain that he had never seen as a child growing up in Germany. So he points out here and there different shinuyim that he saw amongst the minhagim. So this is one of them that he picks up upon. He says he's walking around Spain, his first day as rabbi of Toledo, and he sees everybody's wearing tzitzis, very nice. He looks a little closer and he sees everyone's wearing linen. They're all wearing four-cornered begadim of linen with tzitzis on them, with pishtim strings, with linen strings. So the Rush is scratching his head. He said, wait a second, the Gemara says, you know, I do that. The Gemara says that Sa'adim and Tzitzis is also, they made Xavier and the Rabbanim, not a lot of way in Begadim. So he says, what's going on with the Rabbanim in Spain? What was happening? So he thought about it, and he says, he realized they must be relying on the following. That the Gemara says that the only reason why the Chachamim prohibited to wear linen would have been a great idea, but the Chachamim prohibited it as a gezeir that you may come to put on the wrong tchelas. So Mestama, these Rishonim in Spain held that gezeir was only made at a time when there's tchelas, but Bismanazeh, for the last 500 years, we haven't had tchelas, so there is no tchelas Bismanazeh. So if there's no tchelas Bismanazeh, what are you afraid of? What could possibly go wrong? What's going to happen? No one's going to put on wool strings. You're always going to put on linen strings. There's never any gezeir b'chlal. So Mestama, that's what the Chacham in Spain must have held, and that's what the Minig in Spain was based on. So it probably was very helpful in Spain. It was a little hot in Spain, so it was nicer to wear a little further south in Germany. No, all right, for geography, it's a little warmer in Spain. So it was more comfortable to wear the linen begadim. So that was the limud zchus that the Rosh said. But he is a true Ashkenazi. Wouldn't buy into this. He said, no, we pass kintzad mitzitz this also on myself. So we assume our minig is not like the minig in Spain. We assume, I don't think the Sfardim followed this either today, we assume that linen is off limits. L'char b'zmanazeh, for sure it's off limits. B'zmanazeh that, we'll talk about our tchelos b'zmanazeh a little bit later on, but according to many, we may have really authentic tchelos b'zmanazeh. So if we have authentic tchelos b'zmanazeh, so now we have a problem. Now the gezer comes back to haunt us, because even according to the minig in Spain, Mahakil, that kula doesn't apply b'zmanazeh, unless you hold we don't tchelos b'zmanazeh. If you hold that there's no tchelos b'zmanazeh, so then you can rely on the minig of the rabbanim in Spain. L'maaseh, say nobody relies on it anymore. Nobody wears linen begadim anymore. Everyone wears either the wool, those who want to be yaitzei l'chol ades mederaisa, for those who are happy with their amos, compromise, even other begadim are acceptable as well. So when you look in the Gemara and the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch, when they speak about other kinds of materials, so they speak about the other kinds of garments that were prevalent in those days. This Gemara speaks about silk, and the Rishonim talk about cotton. Those are the normal begadim that was spoke about. What if you have other kinds of begadim, like more modern day kinds of begadim, synthetic begadim? So let's say you have polyester. Polyester, it's going to be hard to find the Rishon discuss polyester. It was just invented a couple of years, 50, 60 years ago. So what would the halacha be? Would the halacha be any different if it's a synthetic baguette? Again, according to the Shulchan Aruch, so midaraisa, nothing else is chayav. But even according to the Ramo, says that midaraisa, everything is chayav. Should we differentiate between natural fibers and synthetic fibers? So Rav Moshe had a chiddush gadol in his Tshuvas and Igus Moshe. Rav Moshe suggested that all the synthetic material is potter from tzitzis. It's potter midaraisa, it's potter midarabanan, it's mamish not chayav and tzitzis altogether. What's the svara? So Rav Moshe says the Gemara tells us that a beged shel or is potter from tzitzis. If you have just a sheet of leather or something, a sheet of animal skin, so that's not considered to be chayiv in tzitzis. It's not chayiv min haTorah, it's not chayiv min derabbanan. Why not? What's the chisaron of or? So Rav Moshe says he thinks the chisaron is as follows, that a beged usually means that you take threads and you weave the threads together into a beged, into a garment. That's what a beged is. Rosh Hashanah, an animal skin is just one flat piece. It's one piece of skin. So one thing which is not woven, it's not threads, it's nothing. It's no shesiv, no erev, no whoops, whatever they are, no looms. It's just a sheet of skin. That's not considered to be a beged in for the purposes of Hilchos Tzitzis. So it comes in Moshe and says, if you go to the factories where they make the polyester, so that's how they make it. So they make these big, big sheets of polyester, and therefore a big sheet of polyester is not like, it's closer to an animal skin than it is to a beged. But Moshe writes, it's not exactly what happens. What they do is they make a big sheet of a polyester, and then they cut it into strings, and they cut it into threads, and then they go ahead and they weave those threads back together again into being a beged. So Rav Moshe says that's not the same as leather. So he says no, he thinks it's the same thing. He says that just leather also, if you would have a sheet of leather and you would cut it into little pieces and re-sew it, it's also considered to be just a sheet of leather. So says Rav Moshe, he thinks that the modern day equivalent of the leather of the days of Chazal is any of the polyester, any of the synthetic material is potter from tzitzis min haTorah, it's potter from tzitzis min derabbanan. It's totally potter lagamer. So other poskim disagreed with Moshe. Other poskim said, "Yeah, if you would go to the factory and buy a sheet of polyester and put that on as a coat, so that would be potter from tzitzis. That's leather. But once, that's not what it looks like today. When you have a polyester clothing today, so it started out that way, but then it was cut into strings, it was cut into threads, it was made, and then it was re-sewn together like a beged. So now it looks like a beged. So who cares that its origin in life was as a sheet? It's cut in my sebraceous. Right now it's a garment." So that's what many poskim disagreed with Ramosha. They felt that the polyester and the nylons and the rayons, all these other kinds of materials, would in fact be chayiv in tzitzis, according to the Shulchan Aruch midirabbanan, because it's no worse than cotton, no better than cotton and silk. And according to the Rama, they would actually be chayiv min haTorah. Even according to Rav Moshe, according to Rav Moshe, it's a bracha levatala. According to those who disagree with Rav Moshe, then it would be okay. So l'chora, even according to Rav Moshe, one could argue that that's only true if the beged is completely made out of these materials. What would the halacha be if you have a beged that's made partially out of these materials? So then the poskim write that you follow rove, that if rove of the threads in this given garment is cotton, so then that's called a cotton garment. If rove of the threads are polyester, that's called the polyester garment. So according to Rav Moshe, it would be important if you want to buy a quote-unquote polyester beged for tzitzis, so it would be important to find out what's the rove. So if it's 55% cotton, 51% cotton, if they usually make 55% cotton, so that would be good even according to Rav Moshe. If it's 55 or more percent polyester, according to Rav Moshe, that would be a serious problem. So again, there are different opinions in the poskim about this. There is another kind of a beged out there, they call the net, the fishnet tzitzis. So those tzitzis are made of other materials. They're not cotton. They're made of some kind of polyesters and all that kind of stuff. So again, according to Rav Moshe, that in and of itself would be a problem. The question is, what about according to the Cholkim on Rav Moshe? Those who hold, which could be many, but many, but could be most poskim, disagreed with Rav Moshe's cheshbon, and they said that even 100% polyester would be chayiv, and according to the Ramo would be chayiv min haTorah. Maybe one could argue that the fishnet tzitzis are worse than regular polyester. Maybe one could say as follows, or some will suggest that the fishnet are not really derech hariga altogether. It's not called, it's not woven together. It's not threads that are made into a beged. It's a mold, it's a net, whatever you want to call it. It's not a classic beged. So maybe that's not called the beged in halacha. That's what some are concerned with. So again, I'm not paskin, I'm not saying that that they're no good for the mitzvah of tzitzis. I'm saying there are some who are mafakbek for two different reasons. There are some who are mafakbek based on Rav Moshe's cheshbon, and there are others who are mafakbek based on maybe the nets are less than a regular classic beggar. So in terms of the hierarchy of the godim, just in terms of material, so wool is clearly on the top, that according to everybody, wool would be with derais al-chaladeis. Linen, in theory, would have been good, except for the quirk, the problem with the rabbanon of the gzeira of Sadam etzitzah, so we're stuck, and we don't wear the linen bizman hazeh. Then you have cotton and silk, which are natural fibers, but they're not semropishtim. According to the Shulchan Aruch, they're midirabanan. According to their mother, also midiraisa. Then you have polyesters and nylons and rayons and those, which according to Rav Moshe Apotel the Gamre, according to many poskim, are chayav, either deraisa or derabanan, depending on what you hold in the machlokes, the mechaber, and the ramah. And then possibly, according to some, on the bottom of the totem pole, possibly, are the fishnet sitters, which may be a shayla for a separate reason. Maybe they're not considered to be a beggar. So it seems to be the hierarchy in terms of the different materials as to how to perform the mitzvah tzitzis properly. Thank you, Mustafa.
It's better than nothing. I don't know.